Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's get back to the A to Z of Merseyside football. Proper football historian's journey. We're doing it with John Keith as we go through the alphabet and pick out the best bits from Merseyside football. Of course, it's got to correspond with the letter of the alphabet. We started with some Fs. We did Joe Fagan, Duncan Ferguson. Now we're on to a Robbie Fowler. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning. Well, you mentioned Robbie Fowler. In the autumn of 1993, Liverpool's fortunes were running low. Graham Souness's side had just lost 2-0 to Everton in a miserable Goodison display, their fourth defeat in five league games, when an 18-year-old lad from Toxteth, a boyhood Everton fan, was pitched into his debut in a League Cup game at Fulham. The youngster responded by scoring a goal and helping to set up the other two in a 3-1 win. Robbie Fowler had announced his arrival. He stayed in the team for his first Premier League action in the next two games, a 1-0 defeat at Chelsea and a goalless home clash with Arsenal, and was unlucky not to score, but a few days later he showed the deadly instinct that would send thrills through the Kop and chills through opposing defences, scoring all the goals, all of them, in Liverpool's 5-0 demolition of Fulham in the League Cup second leg at Anfield. To underline the breadth of the newcomer's armoury, he hit his first three goals that night with his left foot, his fourth with his head, and the fifth right-footed. He was the first player in Liverpool history to score five in a cup game, and only the fourth to do it in any senior match, following Andy McGuigan, 1902, Johnny Evans, who we've had in the series, 1954, and someone called Ian Rush, a decade earlier, in 1983. And how did Robbie celebrate? Well, in his own words, "I went straight home to me mum's and then down the chippy for my usual order, a special fried rice with barbecue sauce and a can of iron brew."
But that's just a brilliant thing about Robbie. He never changed.
The
personality stuck the same. And he associated with the Kop and the fans straight away.
Oh, absolutely. And he's still the same now, isn't he? Mm. He has a wonderful identity with the fans. And again, not many players have that kind of identity. Well, I said he went for his own special meal that night, but he'd go on to serve a special goal-laden menu for Anfield fans. Two spells at Liverpool between 1993 and 2001, and then in 2006-07, under four managers, with Souness being followed by Roy Evans, Gerard Houllier and Rafael Benitez. Fowler's 183 Liverpool goals, playing alongside strike partners that included, we've mentioned the aforesaid Rush, Stan Collymore and Michael Owen, put him sixth on the club's all-time list and earned him the nickname God from Liverpool fans. He also scored seven times in 26 England appearances. But it wasn't all sweetness and light. In April 1999, having been goaded totally erroneously by Everton fans that he was taking drugs, he crawled along the white line of the penalty area, simulating drug sniffing after scoring from a penalty in the Mersey Derby. And although he apologised, he served a four-game ban and was fined £60,000 by the club. He was also hit with a two-game ban and a £32,000 fine for taunting Chelsea's Graham Lasso, for which he also apologised. But in contrast, Fowler won a UEFA Fair Play Award for what he did in a match at Arsenal in 1997. You'll remember this. Referee Gerald Ashby had awarded Liverpool a penalty for what he deemed a foul on Fowler by Arsenal keeper David Seaman, but Robbie told the official he hadn't been fouled. However, Ashby refused to change his decision, and perhaps justice was done when Seaman saved Fowler's spot kick. I suspect somehow Robbie helped him save it as well. And Liverpool won the game anyway through goals from Collymore and Steve McManaman. Arsenal, in fact, loomed large in Fowler's firing line. It was against the Gunners he blitzed the Premier League's and Liverpool's quickest hat-trick, scored in a span of 4 minutes, 33 seconds in the first half in August 1994. That same season, he also scored a late Liverpool winner at Arsenal's former Highbury home, and the following year smashed another hat-trick in a Christmas win over the London club. A year on, he scored twice to help dump them out of the League Cup, and he went on to add another three goals to take his Arsenal hit list to 12. Now, Fowler captained Liverpool during the treble-winning season of 2000-2001, and although he had to battle for a place with Emil Heskey and Owen, he appeared in all three victorious finals, scoring in the League Cup final against Birmingham and the UEFA Cup final against Alavés, and facing old adversaries Arsenal in the FA Cup final. Yet in that moment of glory, Fowler revealed in his autobiography that he felt Houllier wanted him out of the club as part of a strategy to dismantle Roy Evans's side. And sure enough, at the age of 26, he was on his way to Leeds in November 2011 for £11 million.
Do you know what? That's one of his greatest frustrations. Done a lot of stuff with Robbie, and that 2001 season is one of his biggest frustrations. He did play games, but he knew he was third or fourth in the pecking order, and he sort of feels like he didn't contribute enough. And what a shame that is.
It is a shame. You're right. I've done stuff with him as well. We've done things in public with him, and he always says that. He makes no secret of it. He didn't feel a part of things, did he? But he did contribute, obviously. But with Robbie, it's got to be hands-on or nothing, hasn't it? And he didn't feel he was part of it, but... Anyway, he left for Leeds just a month after scoring a hat-trick for Liverpool against Leicester. He then moved on to Manchester City, January 2003, but 3 years later, to the delight of the Kop, he was brought back to Anfield on a free transfer by Houllier's successor, Benitez. After adding a further 12 goals to his Liverpool total, Fowler made his final appearance, wearing the captain's armband, against Charlton at Anfield in May 2007, followed by subsequent spells at Cardiff, Blackburn, and then in Australia and Thailand. Now, Robbie's become a very successful businessman with a substantial property portfolio. He appears as a football TV pundit, and in 2015 set up the Fowler Education and Football Academy, which is going from strength to strength. But for Liverpool fans, he'll always be the natural finisher whose goals took them to heaven.
Still an ambassador. What a lovely line as well. And you mentioned his return to the football club, and he always says, if you say, what's your favourite moment in your career? He says, getting the call to come back to Liverpool Football Club. So not all those brilliant goals, the one against Villa with no backlift, the Arsenal goal.
Yes.
None of that, not his hat-tricks. It's getting the call to come back to Liverpool. Yeah. Such was his passion for the football club.
Well, you could take Anfield out of Robbie, but you couldn't take Robbie out of Anfield, could you? You know, he wanted to be a part of it.
What a remarkable story. Let's take our next F in the A to Z of Merseyside football. We're crossing the park.
Yes, we are indeed, Steve. In the years immediately after World War II, Everton had an impressive supply line of talent from the Republic of Ireland. And one of the most notable imports from the Emerald Isle was Peter Farrell, then categorised as a right or left half today. He'd be known as a versatile midfielder. In one of the best deals Everton have ever pulled off, they signed Dubliners Farrell and winger Tommy Eglinton, who we've already talked about in this series, for a joint fee of £10,000 from Shamrock Rovers in August 1946. Each of them gave the club more than a decade of great service. In Farrell's case, 453 appearances, putting him eighth on Everton's all-time list, and he was also captain for nine seasons from 1948-49, during which Everton were relegated from the top flight, then returned in 1954 after three seasons in the old Division Two. Farrell was a powerful, strong tackling player. Like Eglinton, he played for both Ireland national teams, and he helped make football history when he scored one of the goals in the Republic's 2-0 win over England at Goodison in 1949, and that was England's first defeat on home soil by a non-UK country. And fittingly, when Farrell left Everton in October 1957, he linked up again with Eglinton at Tranmere, where he became player-manager and then manager until he took over at Sligo Rovers in 1961. He later ran his own Dublin insurance business, and he died in 2001. But one of the great servants for Everton, Peter Farrell.
And obviously great mates with Tommy Eglinton as
well. Oh, yeah, they were a pair.
Inseparable, were they?
They were very close, obviously very, very close, yes. And two very nice guys, as well as being great players. I did meet both of them, Steve, yeah.
Great piece of history there. Right, two more inductees to the 80s at Merseyside Football, Robbie Fowler and Peter Farrell. We'll have another couple of names for you next week with John Keith as we go through that alphabet, the 80s at Merseyside Football.
Steve Hothersall's kick-off. This is Radio City Talk.